We are looking at the third and the final of our mission. So great to be celebrating my son's birthday and Charlie's birthday, and great to be with my one of my dear friends. I don't want to mention his name, and because of reasonable reasons. So great to be with you this morning, and it is fantastic to celebrate God's goodness. So what is our first mission? Oh, he's already there, you know, spoil it. So, okay, shall we say that together? Know Jesus, show Jesus, share Jesus. Can we say that again? Know Jesus, show Jesus, share Jesus. Rich started with what does that really mean by knowing Jesus? Then Ben shared, how do we show Jesus? Today I will be sharing some of the biblical, so what scripture says, and some of the principles, you know, in terms of practice when it's coming to how you're going to implement that one in your real life will be, you know, so that's something, how you're going to use that based on where you are. Question is, I'm going to the third slide that says, what comes to mind when you hear sharing Jesus? Just think about a couple of minutes, you know, just think, what does that really come to your mind, you know? So some people think about some great preachers or some big evangelist like Billy Graham, you know. So suddenly, I don't know how many of you are excited about, you are excited about his message, but the default is, I'm not like him, you know. Reinhard Bonnke, you know, so an African German guy preaching to thousands and millions of people, and he's a powerful evangelist. People say, I'm not like him, you know. So some people think about going to the street with a Will Patterson and roaming around with a T-shirt and giving tracts. Suddenly you say, no way, I'm not going to be anywhere near. Some of them might be thinking about street preachers, you know. They stand on the corner and share about Jesus, you know. So that's the way you think. And some people think about, you have a piece of paper or some sort of tract in your pocket and you do something. So somehow sharing Jesus sometimes connect with an activity or some sort of project or some sort of doing things here and there. And most of the time, a very, very tiny minority, they are excited about this one. Majority are not excited. Do you agree with me? If you talk to Will Patterson, yes, let's go, you know. So most of us say, where is the fire exit, you know. So that's the way our default, it's okay. So we will look into that one. What is that really? Think about sharing Jesus. Okay, so how many of you love to eat a nice burger or a kebab or something really, really juicy? You know, sorry. If you're vegan, just imagine that's a vegan burger, okay? So no offense to anyone, you know. So, and if you doesn't like gluten, that's a gluten-free, you know, okay? If you are thinking about fair trade, yes, that's a fair trade meat, okay? So forget about all these kind of small little kind of things. It is an amazing thing, you know. So imagine you are eating. And you start eating that one. And I'm looking at Rich. It's really nice. How will he respond? Might be good for you. It might be tasty, but I'm just assuming you're enjoying it. Can he really enjoy that? No. But he's my friend. At least he appreciates. Blessing is enjoying. At the end, because of, you know, so I don't know how does he deal with the jealousy. You know, he might be thinking, he could have just shared with me something. Then we could have shared the taste together, you know. So when you enjoy something, people could imagine the taste of that one. Okay, I'm a generous person. I brought a knife and chopped it and gave to Rich Owen, you know. So now he started eating that one. He might say, he might not talk much. And that's really nice, you know. So then, you know, so Will Patterson heard about this. And Will said, oh, what are you eating? You know, so now I need to chop again, you know. So then Chris Brand heard, oh, what is that? You know, I need to chop again. What will happen? Nobody enjoyed that fairly good enough. Because the resource I'm enjoying, I'm trying to divide and to chop, 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 chop. At the end, it is a small amount of food, you know. And somehow, the next person coming, they say, something smells nice. Sorry, mate, too late. It's gone now. So what is the solution? The solution is introducing the person made that amazing bread or kebab or burger or bake, you know. We'll go to the next slide, you know. So we introduce to that person. That means I can still enjoy and everyone can enjoy by going to this amazing baker. He makes never-ending. He got the recipe. He has resources. He has availability. He has the joy to share with you because he is the bread maker. Oh, he is the one making it. So how did others came to know about this person? Because I shared about this amazing food in the first place. I was willing to share a little bit more. I can also go back to the same place. I can enjoy the food to the extent. So this is a good analogy. That is why whenever we go to restaurants, we always look for reviews. How many of you read reviews before you go to a restaurant? No, you just go and you pray, and God, lead me to the right restaurant. You are sovereign God. I'm just going to these fish and chips. I don't care because you are going to make everything new. You know, nobody's going to do that one. We always go for reviews because somebody eaten, tasted it amazingly. That is the reason. Sharing Jesus is similar to that. Something you experience about God, not because you're born in a religious family, not because your parents forced them to read the Bible, it's not because somehow you're scared to go to hell or something bad will happen to you, it's not because there is something fear dragged you to be religious. Actually, you tasted it. You experience the difference of knowing God in your life, that started spilling out. That started reflecting in your parenting. That started reflecting in your marriage. That started reflecting how you treat other human beings. That started reflecting how you treat with the other people from other race and color. How you relate to God will be reflected in your everyday life. It's not about the one day you go to the street and share the gospel. It is everyday mundane of your everyday reality. People will taste that. People will smell that. So we are talking not about a piece of paper. We are not talking about some religious ideology. We are not talking about what will you get if you sign up to this one. When we talk about sharing, it is a person who changed your life. A person died in your place. A person changed you inside out. Like Neil shared this morning, you know, when you're looking at your heart, you can see the ugly nature. You don't like that, all these kind of bad things, and you're trying to clean it. You're trying to read things and trying to be clean, but you failed and failed and failed. Then someone came to your life and he cleaned you through that cleansiness or cleanliness or the cleaning work of God, what happened? Your life started changing. How you relating to people start changing, and it's not a secret, it is visible. It is evident whether you are introvert or extrovert. If you like to shout, if you want to be quiet, the transforming work of God will be evident through your life. It is cannot be hidden. So Ben preached about that one. The light, the city on a hill cannot be hidden. It is going to be visible. So we are talking about the person, the highest, the best, and the final good of the good news is not a piece of paper. It is a person. His name is Jesus. So behold him. Cherish him, love him, worship him, follow him, stop sinning, not out of fear, but out of love, by trusting in him. So you are mad in love with this person, changed you, you cannot keep quiet about what God has done in your life. Once the joy of intimacy with God has been experienced, life becomes unbearable without it. Can I read that again? This is from J. Oswald. You know, he's a famous missionary. He wrote this one. Once the joy of intimacy with God has been experienced, life becomes unbearable without it. You cannot live without this person. Change your life. So the gospel begins with God's love and his demonstration of his love in our lives. It's not a vague, sentimental love. It is a love revealed in the glory of Christ through his life and death and resurrection and his intercession, ongoing process, what God has been done. Why is that? Because Jesus is the image of the invisible God. How do I know God? Because God came down like a human being. He became like one of me, and he demonstrated the love of God through Jesus. He demonstrated God's mercy through Jesus. He demonstrated God's heart for justice through Jesus. His heart for the poor and the marginalized and the sick, and his sick against the death was demonstrated through Jesus' life. That's why whenever he faced death situation, death, he always responded with that brokenness, understanding the depth of the ugliness of sin can do to human being. Also, he responded on the other way with the resurrection power. No one else in the history ever raised someone from the dead. That's only Jesus. That's why Jesus healed the sick. So Jesus is the image of God. And he's not just there. The same God changed, came to my life. And he changed me so that I can carry the image of God, because that's the reason God created me. So I was restored to the purpose I was created. I was renewed to the purpose I was created. Now I'm not lost. I have a purpose in my life. I have a meaning in my life whether I have a job or not, whether I have a home or not, whether I have a good status or not, I'm secure in him because I was found by the one who created me for his glory. So I'm back to his sanctuary. I'm back to have a good relationship with him. So that's why John 3:16, Bible says, God so loved the world. God so loved the world. It's not because we are lovable. God didn't say that one. How cute the human beings are. I want to go and die for them. Look at them. They're cuddling one another. They're sharing one another. Look at their generosity. It is boring to be with the angels. They're always singing holy and all kind of boring. Let me be with these amazing people. They don't fight. If I talk to them about forgiveness, they ask, what is that? We never heard about this one. Is that true, children? No. We know that. Even from our young age, from the we are born with that arrogance and pride and unforgiveness, so we are separated from God. But God came down to rescue this broken-hearted, lost sinner who hates God or who uses God for my own benefit. Why do I need God? For a better life. Why do I need God? To have everything to be okay. Why do I need God? I don't want any sickness. Why do I need God? I want to make money. Why do I need God? I need security. Why do I need God? I can be better than someone else, you know. So I use God for my selfish ambition, but God created me to demonstrate and reflect his glory. So by thinking I'm getting more secure and safe, what was happening? I was moving towards destruction. I was moving towards away from God. I was walking into darkness. That is why richness never gives you good sleep. Or even if you have lots of things, you know, the peace will be lost. You might have a big mansion or you might have a small thing. Without God, you can see that something is missing. So that's the place Jesus came down to demonstrate his love. In Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 3 says, his love is everlasting. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, his love shines through Jesus. What does that mean in our everyday life? When we share Jesus, we are offering a person, not a religion or ideology. We are offering other people the baker who can give living bread. Everyone can go to him. And we introduce to that baker because we experience that love in our lives. We'll go to the next slide. So God's love means Jesus' love. So we'll go to slide number 7, please. You know, so every day, sharing Jesus means we are sharing about. Oh, there was a heart sign there. You know, it's missing. Sorry, that's my design disaster. Sorry. Just assume that you can use your imagination. So God's love means the love of Jesus was demonstrated. So in a workplace, sharing Jesus means what Jesus has done to you. If he didn't do anything to you, you can't share. If you already done something to you, and if you don't want to share, the question is, why? We will come to that later. You can share about small stories of God's goodness in your life. And let people see how precious Jesus to you. It's not a badge you put there with a cross, or it's not some sort of activism you do. It is unbearable to live a day without the love of God. It needs to spill out. So the good news is not mainly what God gives, it is who God gives. That is He Himself through His Son, Jesus. Okay, this is exciting news. Your sins are forgiven. You will be restored. Who doesn't like good news? Everyone loves good news. Do you like good news? Good news. Like the same way, going back to the burger, you gave to one person, Richard Owen. Where did you get it? And I will go back. That's not Richard Owen. That's just a, you know, so just a picture. Sorry, Richard, you know, so I'll just use you as an example. You know, no offense. I gave to the next person. That person's response is, yeah, it's all right. You know, so it is really good, you know. So people's response could change from place to place, you know. So why this is, why some people really like it and why some people don't like it. Let me go to understand this one, we need to read a passage. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4 and 6. I'm going to skip the verse 5 in that one. I'll go to verse 4 and 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4 and 4, comma 6, you know. So again, my error. Me, no English, sorry. The God of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers. Okay, if you can read that one, or just in your mind, listen very carefully, you know, just read that one. The God of this world is talking about, there is a God who rules. Yes, God is sovereign. He is supreme. But there is another type of God, mini God, or kind of a God, or we call him Satan, or the enemy, the father of lies. The God of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers. Verse 5. For God, this is talking about the supreme God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Wow, that's exciting. One side, the world, the God of this world, trying to blind people. Here, the God who created everything wants you to experience and enjoy that light. Who is powerful? God with the capital G is powerful. But the small g God of this world has power to blind people's hearts and minds. What is the impact? That's why when you share about this good news, we'll go to the next slide. People have two different types of response, you know. One people love it, the other people doesn't like it. It's like when you make a nice stew and when you have a cold, can you taste it? No. You say, it is amazingly baked just now with lots of love and everything. The person with the cold and cough and fever say, no, this is so vile. It's not the problem with the food, it's the taste bud. This is the same way. When you share gospel to someone, you experience that one. When you are blind, let me go to the next slide. People trying to figure out, like a blind man trying to figure out an elephant. How many of you seen this picture? I heard this story from my childhood, you know, so it's there. So somebody's blind and you're trying to explain the amazing gigantic elephant. This person will try to interpret, oh, this elephant is like a pillar. Oh, this elephant is like a snake. Oh, this elephant is like a fan. Oh, this is elephant is like a rope, you know, so this is like that. They were trying to define the amazing elephant in their own way because of their blindness. That is why when you share about Jesus, they say, isn't he cute? It's so cute to see him on a basket, you know. He's a cute little baby Jesus, you know. I love baby Jesus. Some people say, oh, he's the amazing revolutionary. He is the example of a communist, you know, so we should follow him. Some people say, oh, he's a good teacher, you know. So what a wonderful teacher. They're trying to understand Jesus in different ways because of their blindness, and they completely miss he is God. He is King. Only he can rescue you. Only he can wash your sins. Only he can set you free. Only he can open your eyes to see God and everything else. This is the nature. When you share gospel, don't get discouraged because the enemy blinded many people. This was the story of ours. How many times, you know, before we come to know Jesus, we refused to believe in God. We resisted him. But one day, God opened our eyes. Suddenly, behold him. Wow. Wow. Jesus is everything. I hate sin now because of Jesus. I can forgive my enemy because of Jesus. I can love my enemy because of Jesus. He changed me because that's the way God created me. I can have a relationship with God, and that will be reflected in my relationship with God and to one another. It will be self-evident in our everyday life. Romans chapter 1 verse 16 says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew and to the Gentile." It is the power of God. So we are not trusting in our technique. We are trusting in the power of God, who can bring light into blind situation, who can open the eyes. Does that relieve the pressure from your shoulder? We should be relieved. Because I can't open the blind eyes, but God can. But God uses us to bring that change into our lives. 1 Corinthians chapter verse 1:18. Christ crucified is the power, you know, so God's power. Christ crucified is the power, God's power and wisdom. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us we have been saved is the power of God. That's very, very exciting. Let me go to the slide. And Jesus speak, "Let there be light." He can bring that light to anyone. He doesn't apologize. He doesn't say, "Excuse me." He doesn't say that, "Oh, this is very, very dark. I can't do it." When people call upon his name, "Jesus, I need you," he breaks in. He can set the captives free. So when we share Jesus, we are not going there and trying to do something magic, and Jesus is somewhere else. It's actually we are with him on a mission. We are sharing his good news and believing the one who is with me is able to open the blind eyes. He can shine the light into people's heart. That is good news. When we talk about Jesus, remember what he can do and remember and his timing and how God is going to do in our lives. So let there be light. So go to the bread of life. Always take people back to Jesus, not to our religious ideology. When people ask, what should I do to get saved? Don't tell them, read Bible every day, 5 hours, you will get saved. No. Don't do that one. You pray 5 hours, you will get saved. No. Do good things to the poor. No. Because people cannot get saved through work. It is only through the transforming work of Jesus breathing the breath of life into your lives, and then you can see He only can open the eyes. So how do you get saved? If you're thinking, how do I get saved? The answer is, call upon His name. Jesus, I'm blind. I thought I know why I'm living. But the more I'm looking into my heart, you know, like Neil mentioned, you know, I can see that one. I'm a lost person. I've never been happy, you know. So I come to church, but there is no joy. There is no peace. I work like an animal, or I worry like something like that, you know. So I'm a religious, you know. My mom was religious. They all go to church, but something is missing in me. That is a sign, you know. So something God wants to do to you today to set you free, to bring that light in your life. When you have that life, you face the challenges, the sickness, the unforgiveness, the war, persecution, everything you face through the light of God that's been shown in your heart, that's through Jesus. Because of you met the person, not some ideology. And He's available right now in this room. That's why it is important to share Jesus. Acts 26:18. I'm sending you to open their eyes. Shall we read that together? I'm sending you to open their eyes. Shall we say that again? I'm sending you to open their eyes. I'm not opening it. Who is opening it? The one who can open the eyes. That is King Jesus, and He's available. And in Matthew 28, He said, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Surely I'm with you always to the ends of the ages. I'm going to finish with some, how do we do that in our everyday life? How do we do that one? So spirituality is not easy to define, but you can tell when it is present. It is the fragrance of the garden of the Lord, the power to change the atmosphere around you, the influence that make Christ real to others will be revealed wherever you are. And remember, trust in the sovereignty of God. There is no conceivable situation in which it is not safe to trust God. You can trust God in all circumstances. He is the one opening the eyes. Where do we start? The best place to start, question, do you enjoy Him? Do you cherish Him? You can preach about something without actually experiencing that. I'm not talking about the bubbly feeling or kind of extrovert person is always smiling. I'm not talking about that one. Whether you're introvert or extrovert, are you overwhelmed by the saving grace of God? If you are not enjoying God, sorry, you cannot share. You will be like a marketing person. Don't like the washing machine, but that's your job. You need to sell the product. You will do that for the sake of doing to get something. But when you really know something or someone, you come out from that one. So that's why to pray in the first place, God to come and meet with you in your lives. So that's a good place to start. And pray for others in your workplace. There must be families, friends, your colleagues, or your neighbors. You know that one. They are living in darkness, you know. their marriage is mess. Their relationship is in mess. Their everyday life is in mess. I can't save, but I know who can save. You can start praying for that people in your everyday life. There must be opportunity to pray for the sick people, you know. So in my workplace, some of these are principles. It will be different in your place. When people, how was your weekend? I tend to add intentionally, Friday was this one, Saturday was this one, Sunday, I went to Sunday, this is what happened. 5 people got baptized. We have Easter feast, and we explain what happened. One time, when I told about I'm preparing for my preach, 2 of my work colleagues to know what you're preaching. Then I need to preach to them first before I preach to you. They asked, you need to tell them what you're going to say. That was a difficult subject I was preaching about sexuality and gender. Here we go. I was able to communicate. They didn't fire me. People are so hungry for God. People are desperate for the truth. Who is going to give that one? Secularism? Humanism? Other religions? No. Only the life-giving baker, you know, can bring life to other people. So share Jesus every day through stories, through prayer, praying for healing, and be open and honest about your struggle. When you go down, you can say, I'm feeling low. It's okay because you are trusting in God who can set you free. Sometimes I wear a band, you know, four-letter band I wear always. You know, people ask, why you wear that one? I carry a Bible in my bag all the time. I have tracks in my phone, you know. So there are some resources, you know, some I've been ready. These are principles, you know. So you can practice in whichever way. And we are going to respond in prayer. I'm going to finish with fear and nervousness. Fear is not a good thing. That's why Jesus said, do not fear, you know. Fear no more, fear. Nervousness, how many of you done bungee jumping here or some sort of skydiving or something? Can you give me your hand, you know? Yeah, it's there. How many of you woke up in the morning, woohoo, I'm going to do that one. Or how many of you felt, ooh, I'm going to do this one. But you still did it. But fear will stop you doing from things. Fear of cooking, you never cook. But nervousness of cooking, you still cook, but you don't know how people are going to respond. Jesus is here to set you free from fear of man, fear of failure, any type of fear, he wants to set you free. But he's okay with the nervousness, you know, because that is something we hold on to God. I know my children, when they're learn to do the cycling business, they're nervous, but they are trusting in me how to move forward. Fear, nope, they never come out. So this morning I want to pray for freedom from any source of fear in your life, sharing Jesus, and also trusting in God every day, knowing that I can share God's love in every day, but God set me free. This is the last session of our mission. Know Jesus, show Jesus, and share Jesus. These are not nice ideas. This is the heart of God. Let's stand and respond.